second letter, chapter 1. I want to speak to you about the God of comfort. Isn't that interesting? I had a couple of other messages, as often happens during the day yesterday. It was a bit of a discombobulated day, but so I kind of pawed around trying to scratch out a message or two, but didn't make a great deal of progress. But this morning, and the Lord directed my attention elsewhere anyway, and He often does that, and I'm thankful for it. I'd always prefer to have His direction than mine. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to speak to you this morning about the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. He's revealed to us here not only who He is and why He is, but how He is, the God of all comfort. And oh, how we need His comfort. And oh, how willing He is to always provide it. And how does He provide it? He provides it in many different ways. He provides it through His power. He provides it through His presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. He provides it through His great and precious promises, but He also provides it through His people. And these things are covered in this text. It seems a fitting text for the hour, for the church, for the time, for its people, for all of us. And we thank God. Now we ask Him in a word of prayer to direct our thoughts from this text. Our Father, we do thank You in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for gathering us together as Your people here, assembling us that we might worship You and might praise You and might glorify You and honor You and hear You and share You one with another. Oh, Father, let us be eager sharers of Jesus Christ one with another and out in the world. The need is so very great. Oh, Father, speak to us today about Your Son. Speak to us through Your Son. Speak to us in Your Son. Speak to us through Your Word today about Your comfort and Your purpose in all You do. We would thank You. We thank You for the healings. We thank You for the progress. We thank You for the demonstrations of faith. We thank You for the trials of faith all around us, dear Father. We're thankful for the demonstrations of Your providence. Everywhere we seem to look these days, we see Your hand at work. And what a thrill and what a joy. And the biggest joys come in the smallest demonstrations, the minute details of our lives that You reveal that You are there in the smallest details, revealing to us how thoroughly You love us, care for us, and provide for us. We thank You in Jesus' name. We thank You for the text You've given this morning. Help us to preach from it, dear Lord. Give us the Holy Spirit. Oh, refresh us with Your comfort. Encourage us in our tribulations as we are reminded of yet another purpose in those tribulations. Help us, dear Lord, most of all, to see Jesus, to be drawn closer to Him and desire more deeply to follow Him, to be used of Him, and to reveal Him in the living out of our lives day by day. And we would thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Let's read together some. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, and we might add even to us here in Bradenton, Florida, 2,000 years later, this letter comes to us. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious those two commodities. Not sold in the world's market, not for sale at all. Grace freely bestowed to all who will receive it. The unmerited favor of God upon our lives. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, he made himself poor that we, by his poverty, might be made rich. Oh, praise God for that. But they come through the Lord Jesus, don't they? They can't be bought. They've been paid for. And we thank the Lord for it. And oh, that precious peace, that peace with God that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice for our sins on that awful tree. And we have peace with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't buy that. You can't earn that. You can't merit that. It's the unspeakable free gift that comes from God. It only comes from him and through him by his Son, Jesus Christ. But not only peace with God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Because of what he did on that cross and because his love for you is such as it is, and our standing in Christ is what it is, that nothing can shake that, nothing can take that away, nothing can defile that. And so we are told, aren't we, that we are to be careful for nothing. Rejoice in the Lord and be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, for everything. Everything, yes, everything. And we can, when we understand, we can thank him for everything, can't we? That the peace of God that passes all understanding might bless your heart and your mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us. Let us continue. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Isn't it interesting that in that verse, it turns our attention to God, blessed be God, praise be God, thanks be to God, honor and glory be to God, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fountainhead, brothers and sisters, of all of God's mercy. He's the God of all mercy. He's the God of all comfort, but the fountainhead of that comfort is Jesus Christ. It all flows to us through him. And that's why he's listed first. In this great statement in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For without him there would be no fountain flowing of boundless comfort to meet us where we are in all of our affliction of whatever sort it is. In every manner and every shape and every size that it might come to us, the God of comfort Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. That word translates well, compassions. We live in a world that's losing its compassion. God has not lost His. He's the God of compassion. He's the Father of compassion. He's the manifestation of compassion. And Jesus Christ is the form in which God's compassion upon a lost and sin-cursed world, and all of us born into it, God's compassion is manifested through Jesus Christ and Him upon that cross. And Him raised from the dead, and Him seated now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me every day. Oh, the God, the Father of mercy. Father of mercy. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The God of all consolation. That word comfort is actually the word paraklesis. Pardon my Greek. Never have spoken it. Rely heavily on men like Strong's to ferret out the meanings. But you're familiar enough with your Bible that you understand the word paraclete, don't you? That one that is called alongside of God's people. The Holy Spirit Himself, the paraclete, the comforter. And where does He come from? From the God of all comfort. We understand that the Holy Spirit has an outsized role in God's comfort, doesn't He? Called alongside those that need comfort, need God's comfort, need His compassion, need His consolation. And you won't live very long upon this earth without needing it. Thank God daily that you know where to find it. Many don't today. Maybe God would be pleased to use you to help to point them to the God of all comfort, His Son Jesus Christ, who provides it. Oh, may we praise Him today. You think about the God of all comfort, the God of all consolation, paraklesis, calling near. God calls His presence through the Spirit near to those that need His comfort. Sometimes it comes through the Word of God. Sometimes it comes through a hymn sung like this morning. God was pouring out the comfort through Jesus Christ in the hymns, every one of them this morning. In different ways, with a different theme, but all of them pouring out comfort. It is well with my soul. You can't mean that in what I'm going through, Lord. Oh, yes, He does. Surely you remember with me the writer of that song, who had lost everything. All his money, all his children. But it was after all of those losses, and not long after all of those losses, that he penned those words. Those sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Paraklesis. The God of all paraklesis. The word comfort, consolation, paraklesis also means supplication. It's an interesting word there too, isn't it? But is it bound up in that? Yes, it is, because a great deal. How much of your comfort comes at the throne of grace? How much of your comfort comes in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you're calling out to God and He answers through His Word? He speaks back to you through His Word and gives you just the comfort you need right now about that particular thing. Has it happened once? Has it happened 1,000 times to you? As it has with me. Oh, there's great comfort in the throne of grace. And how is it that we are called to come to the throne of grace, holding nothing back, made welcome into the very presence of God? Was it not through His Son? Was it not through the rending of His flesh, the shedding of His blood, His death on the tree? When He died, what happened? What happened to that veil that separated us from the presence of God in a picture in the temple? That veil that was 4 inches thick and could not be pulled apart by 2 teams of oxen, but was rent in two when Jesus Christ died on that cross for you, making the way open into the presence of God, where you can come day or night. You can come as often as you like. And you are promised. Micah, is that promise true? You know it is, don't you, son? You've seen it. God is good. That was a great comfort to you, boy, wasn't it? Yes, it was. You see, it's a source of comfort from the God of all comfort, the throne of grace. That word comfort means encouragement. Yet another facet of the provision of God, the God of all comfort, to comfort us in all of our tribulation. He's the God of all comfort. Any comfort that comes to the child of God must come from God, and it must come through Jesus Christ. And one of the great calls that you know, one of the great purposes, and our brother touched on this today, and as he talked to us about the true church of Jesus Christ in the world today, and it is here, and it will be here until He comes again, because He promised that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall never swing shut on it. So you can bank on that. Now they may be few in number, and many of them may be populated few in number. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, when fewer and fewer people have any taste for really the true things of God, that who don't want to be entertained and tickled and told crazy fables, to be told what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Our brother mentioned this morning in a Pew Research that one of the reasons it draws people to church is they want to feel good about themselves. That's not why God draws you to church. I remember Brother Pierce talking about a woman complaining. She said, "You know, how come I always feel worse about myself when I leave than when I come?" That's why God brings you to church. To hold up that mirror of truth, to reveal to you what you really are. To reveal to this preacher what he really is. Make no mistake about it. I am no better than any of you here in that way. I can say with all firmness and absoluteness with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am." We need Jesus Christ. He's our comfort. My sin not in part. Oh, I love that verse, don't you? My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross. Dave, I think that means that my sin put Him there. There's another hymn that says it that way. It was my sin that nailed him there. And that is the correct way to see it. That is the correct way to see it and to see yourself. But oh, the comfort to know that my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, you can't buy that comfort. You certainly can't earn that comfort. It's not on any of the shelves at Walmart. But it comes from the God of all comfort through his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the God of all comfort. The God of all mercy, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort. I lost my train of thought, didn't I? That happens now and again. Sometimes the Lord floods you with so many thoughts you can't get them out fast enough and you forget where you started. But we were on one of those definitions of the word comfort, a paraklesis, and calling near by the Holy Spirit, drawing the Holy Spirit to us and us to him for comfort and the throne of grace, supplication, the comfort that comes through the medium of prayer and that privilege that comes to us by Jesus Christ and the rending of his flesh. But the encouragement aspect of it comes to us when we assemble, at least in part. And how I got off on that to where I went, I don't know. But this I know, that in that same place where you were this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner, the habit of some, not some today, that was written 2,000 years ago. I would say the habit of most is today. What a shame, because there in that place, in the assembling of ourselves together, is another means of God, the God of all comfort, that we might encourage one another to love and good works. We need it. Oh, how we need it. And we're reminded that God encourages through his people. But how do they know how to do it? How do they know what to do? Well, he continues. He will tell us in this text, won't he? Much all that we need to know really about this business of the God of all comfort. If we have time, which we often don't, and that's another topic, but another thought, that we sell our time so cheap and we sell it to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. And once we've sold it, you cannot buy it back. It's gone forever, for all eternity. But as one told me this week, sadly, many of the people of God have no time to love. Let that bone-chilling statement sink in for a minute. No time to love. But isn't that the commandment of all commandments that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ our Savior? This is my commandment. Summing up all of his ministry of teaching, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You can't do that in a hurry. You can't do that in your spare time. You can't do that when you're spread so thin you have no time. It's like that hymn we sing, "Take time to be holy." The world rushes on. But God, help us not to be rushed along. We often are, and we will be if we're not careful. Let's count the cost. No time to love. And there's no comfort like the love of God. Love cures all the ills. It never fails. When in doubt about how to respond, Brother Dale said years ago, when you don't know how to respond, choose love. It's never wrong. It always gives comfort, doesn't it? And the amazing thing about love, it not only gives comfort to you or the one you're loving, but it gives comfort to the lover. A comfort nothing else will give. Oh, God is so good, isn't he, in the way he ordains and orders things. And yet we say, I just don't have time. Then there's a problem. There is a problem. Because you're robbing God and selling your time to the point where you have no time to love. And you're robbing yourself of the great joy that comes only from loving as Christ loved you. And you're robbing others, and you're robbing yourself of being a vehicle of the comfort of God, the God of all comfort. He wants you to be a conduit of his comfort. But the only way to do that is to take time out from your busy schedule and be that conduit and give of yourself to that person who needs the comfort. And I promise you one thing, you're going to need it one day. We all need it. And we really all need it every day. But we're too busy to give it every day. Sadly, sometimes even in our own homes. But you mark this down. My mother told me years ago when she and Bunny were training to work, to do some volunteer work for hospice. And one of the profound things that they said, when people, doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, male or female, educated or uneducated, when it comes time to die, without exception, what people want to know is, have I loved and have I been loved? What a shame to get to that point when you have no more time. And realize that you never had time to love. And now it's the only thing that's important. Don't let that be you. The God of this world would have it be you. The God of this world would have it be this preacher. The God of this world would have it be every mother that's here. The God of this world would have it be every husband. Every one of us, we are a target. Job was a target. You know, I was thinking about preaching some from Job yesterday. And you know, I don't think I ever looked up the name Job. You know what it means? Hated. By who? The God of this world. He could hardly wait to get his hands on Job. It translates hated, persecuted. He was persecuted. The God of this world doesn't want you to have time to love, because that's what Jesus wants you to do. And whatever Jesus wants his people to do, that's what the God of this world does not want you to do. And he will bar nothing to stand in your way, to get in your way, to trip you up, to deceive you, to sideline you, to sidetrack you, to get you looking in another direction, all to the one purpose that you won't have any time to love. Don't let that be you, because God intends, as we will see, if we ever get there in a few verses, that's what God intends. That we, each one, be conduits of comfort. And there's no comfort that comes from the God of all comfort like the comfort of love. The comfort of sacrifice in behalf of another. And that's what real love is, isn't it? It's a sacrifice. And we surely don't have time to make sacrifices. What a tragedy. What a travesty. What a victory for the God of this world over the Lord's people. Jesus, after all, is the great consoler, isn't he? He's the one that shows us what comfort is all about and how it's obtained. He is the source of our comfort. If you're here today and you have peace with God, it came through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No other way. Aren't you glad he had time to love you? Don't you know he was busy? The whole world was created by him and for him. The whole universe was created by him. And if there are other universes, it was all created for him and by him. And it's all held together by him. He's the source of our comfort. Oh, what comfort we, you know, all the promises of God. How do we know that those promises of God are any good? Well, the Bible tells us how we know. That all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are every single one of them, yea and amen. That means they are yes, they are absolutely, they are undeniably. There is no chance, there is, like one guy said to me, there is 0% chance that any one of those promises will not be fully brought to fruition. They're good as gold, aren't they? Better than gold. They're God's gold. And they're the source of comfort. Oh, what comfort. What comfort for Blaine and Becca to know, not to hope, like a lot of people do, I hope, but to know where that baby is, to know that that baby is in the presence of God, to know that one day that baby they will see, that they will hold, they will rejoice in around the throne of God. What kind of comfort is that? You cannot buy that. That comes from God. It's His comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And it comes through Jesus Christ giving us a great and precious promise that mitigates the tremendous grief and sorrow. As Becca said, I don't know how someone who does not have hope in Christ can endure this. It's endured by the comfort. It comes only from the God of all comfort. And sadly, we have no time to be conduits of His comfort to others. We're too busy. May God speak to us. And may we realize what a tragedy that is. Not only a tragedy, but a travesty. In the light of what was done for you and for me, the cost that was paid, the sacrifice that was made, all that was given. You know, as we've quoted already, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, how rich? What wasn't His? Yet though He were rich, yet He became poor. How poor? You can't get any poorer. He completely poured Himself out, emptied Himself. Took the lowest place in the lowest places and endured the lowest suffering. Paid the highest price for the lowest class of sinful men and women. What kind of love is that? Amen. What kind of sacrifice is that? What does that mean to us? What should it mean to us? Through His poverty, we have been made rich. We possess the unspotted, untainted, unblemished righteousness of Jesus Christ as if it were our own. So that when we stand before God, we don't need to cower, we don't need to hide as Adam and Eve, our forebears, did. They hid. Because sin had come between them and the God that they were in the habit of walking in the cool of the day in the garden, but that had been broken. And they have been separated from the God who made them for his glory. But Jesus Christ has restored that. And now, because of him, by faith in him, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you're simply receiving the unspeakable gift into your life, into your heart, into your being, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have peace with God, and you wear, as if it were your very own, his robe. As you said, brother, in that hymn the other day, you have exchanged your filthy rags for his glorious robe of righteousness. And you wear it as if it were your own. It is your own by faith in him. And now you can stand before the God who made you, the God who you have sinned repetitively against, and even today, before the sun goes down, you will sin against him in some way, shape, or form, thought or action, word or deed. And you know it's so. You'll deny him. But when you stand before him, you will be received like that prodigal. As a son of God, a child of God. No condemnation. Oh, the comfort, the God of all comfort. Oh, we thank God for the God of all comfort and all the comfort that comes to us through Jesus Christ. But understand with me that it is intended and it is designed that every one of us who names the name of Jesus Christ here today is purposed to be a conduit of the comfort that comes from God. Are you too busy? And if you are you going to do something by the grace of God about that while you have time? Notice as we read on a little bit, we're just about out of time. We were on verse 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. The fountainhead, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. Our great God is the God of all, isn't he? Aren't you glad about that? My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross. The sins, all of your sins were future when he hung on that cross, weren't they? But they weren't future to God. He knew about every single one of them. Aren't you glad that they're all paid for? He's the God of all, and he is the God of all comfort. And notice what it says. God comforteth us, the child of God, the members of the Corinthian church, and all of the saints of God in the surrounding areas of Achaia, and here in Bradenton this morning, 2,000 years later, the same God of comfort coming in the same ways through the same God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. What I love about those alls is that there is no fine print. There's so many things that has fine print in our world today. Disclaimers. You know, how many times do you get a great coupon in the mail? Great until you read the fine print. So you're going to go to the hardware store and you get $25 off on any $100 purchase. Wow, I need this and I need that. And then you read the fine print. Well, as long as you buy a pair of pliers that are over $50, made by a certain brand, and found only on this aisle, and only while supplies last, then you can use it. Well, what's the point? But the beautiful thing about the God of all comfort is there's no fine print. When it says this, it means this, doesn't it? He comforteth us in all of our tribulation. All of our tribulation. Praise God for the God of alls. And you can count on it. And he's got myriad of ways of doing it. He just showed us this morning, didn't he? What a beautiful song service that he orchestrated for this little flock. It reminds me of how interested he is in his little flocks. Not just the big flocks, the little flocks. It is the Father's good pleasure, Jesus said to the little flock, to give you the kingdom of God. And it is the Father's good pleasure, little flock, to comfort you in all of your tribulation. Oh, what an amazing thing. What a powerful truth. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful promise. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able. That's that word. That's that application. Why does he do this? Why does he do all of this? That. Now he's going to tell us why. Why it comes to us and what his purpose for us, in us, and by us is, how that will be lived out. He is going to include you. He is going to allow you to have the privilege of being his hands, his mouthpiece, his feet, in dispensing the comfort. Amen. What a great God. Amen. To comfort us, that. Not that we might keep it and say, thank God, well, how lucky I am. Look at you poor people over here. They don't know Jesus Christ. Well, that's their loss. Wait a minute. How did that great comfort of the cross come to you? It came by someone that was comforted by that cross. And he came and shared it with you, didn't he? That you might hoard it up like a lot of people do their stuff. No. God doesn't want you to hoard up any of his stuff. He wants you to pour it out and give it away just like it was given to you. And so he comforts you in all of your tribulation, comforts me in all of my tribulation, that we might comfort others. That's the whole purpose, that. And so when we get back to that statement we made, I don't have time to love. Can God be in that? Can God be in that? When we read right here that he comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those in their tribulation. No, he's not in that. The God of this world is in that. And God calls him out on it in this text. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's another comprehensive statement, isn't it? Well, what kind of trouble, Lord? I mean, they kind of set themselves up for this. I mean, they made some bad choices, didn't they, Lord? So they're just, you know, getting their desserts or getting what? Did you get from God what you deserve? Aren't you glad you didn't? And aren't you glad you won't? That's a part of the comfort. It comes through Jesus Christ, isn't it? And yet we make exceptions with other people. We look at them and we decide, well, you know, they deserve that. Be careful. Be careful what it says here. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How, Lord? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. And so we remind ourselves when we are comforting, being used of God to comfort someone else in whatever their trouble is, we're reminded of how he comforted us. Gives us some insight of what might be comforting to them. And that's how we encourage one another to love and good works. We exhort one another. You know, when you do something that brings me a needed comfort, it might be a word. Some of you have been great postcard senders in the past. And I remember how interesting it was that I would walk to the mailbox one day and there would be a card from one of the precious saints of the church here, and it would come on just a day when I needed that word. It might just be a sentence of encouragement. But what a refreshment, what a comfort it was. When was the last time you did that? If you received one of those, have you sent one? Well, don't have time. Find the time. Doesn't take much. But wow, what a jolt of encouragement. What a perfectly timed. It's amazing how those little things, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. A phone call, a visit, a kindness shown, a prayer in behalf or with, many ways. Hasn't God comforted you in innumerable ways? We praise Him for being the God of all comfort. Let us remember His purpose. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. If you're having trouble finding somebody who's in trouble, come talk to me. It'll take me about a half a second to point you in the right direction. They're everywhere. They're sitting in every pew of this church this morning. They might not want you to know it, and they might not admit it, but don't let them fool you. And the preacher is no exception. We all need it, and God knows it. He's the God of all comfort. And He's pleased to use those like you and me who He has comforted and continues to comfort in all of our tribulation, that we might know how to comfort them which are currently in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now I'm going to end with verse 5. I think, for now. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth in Christ. That's a promise, isn't it? It doesn't matter how abounding your tribulations are at any one time. Some of you have been through a whole bunch of them, one right behind the other. The church as a family has been bombarded, it seems, with tribulation after tribulation after tribulation. And we sorrow and we grieve over that. But let us read this carefully, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, He's the suffering Savior, and His people suffer. And to the degree that we are willing to truly follow Him, will we suffer? Remember the man Job. What does his name mean? Hated. Am I remembering correctly that Jesus said to His disciples, "You shall be hated as I am hated"? They have hated me and they will hate you. And if you don't feel very hated, it might be you're not very close to Him. That's my takeaway. That's what logic dictates. And here Paul seems to affirm it. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. God meets everyone, but isn't He saying to us that the closer we follow Jesus Christ, the more with Christ we will suffer? It might be by way of sacrifice, by way of loss, as our brother talked to us about what the Lord laid very heavily, undeniably, and in a way that He couldn't turn away from it, to let loose of what of the perhaps the most important thing. Well, He said it was the most important thing. But God convinced him that he needed to turn loose of that. Well, that's suffering for Christ, isn't it? To turn away from that which you love more than anything else in this world in order to follow Jesus Christ, in order to do what increasing numbers of Christians by name at least say it's not really all that important. But you're giving up all of this for that? You've got to be crazy. That's a suffering. Not to be minimized. It's like Sheridan Stanton you remember, maybe those of you that were here a few years ago at a Bible conference, when that missionary to Peru shared with us, with tears rolling out of his eyes, as he re-remembered the struggle that he himself had. He always wanted to be a pilot. That was his ambition in life. He loved to fly. He wanted to fly. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to be a pilot until the Lord saved him. And then the Lord brought him on a mission trip to Peru and put the people of Peru and their needs of Jesus, for Jesus Christ as Savior, put that in his heart and to wrestle and duke it out with that love and thirst and desire to fly an airplane. And guess what he did for the next 25 years? It wasn't flying an airplane. He lived in Peru and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ all over certain parts of Peru. Trained pastors, native pastors. It was a great influence. And housed us and comforted us when we were there on more than one occasion. Taking scrupulous care that I would not once again succumb to the parasites in the water and in the food in Peru. And the only times I ever went and didn't get sick was because of their scrupulous care. They were used of God to comfort this preacher. Praise God for it. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, you just remember this, that however much you are suffering for Christ's sake, and because you're following Christ, whatever that cost, whatever the pain, whatever the sorrow that is commensurate with that, that comes along with it, God will provide the comfort for every bit of it. That takes some of the sting out of it. I remember I remember it because it was so powerful to me, Sister Betty, 25 years ago maybe, when your daughter, I believe it was in the hospital in Gainesville. And you asked the church to pray for her. She was in serious condition. And I remember Sister Betty saying, I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this. Wow. That's kind of the idea that Paul has here, isn't it? God has brought this great tribulation into my heart. But what's he going to do? What form is the comfort going to come? And did it come? Did it come? It came. We praise God for it. It always comes because he promised it would. But don't you read in here with me that it pleases him to use you who have received the comfort to be willing to be used to share the comfort. That's how God works in all things. All things. May the Lord bless you. And if you're here today and you don't have a Savior, you don't have the Savior, I can tell you this, that you find no comfort in this world. Only sorrow and ultimately defeat. But I can promise you this, that Jesus Christ is the fountainhead of all the comfort of the God of all comfort. Amen. But you must come to him. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. One name. Only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It makes it real easy, doesn't it? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It makes it real easy. And the offer is just as good as the comfort. And that offer is full of comfort. That all the guilt and the shame of your sins, no matter what they are, where they took place, how many there are. Think with me about that poor thief on the cross. His life was one continuous sin, I imagine. He was a bad man. All would agree to that. Even bad men would agree to it. And he agreed to it. He knew. But oh, what a comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforts us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the comfort that came to that poor lost sinner? He was in his dying hours. He was facing an eternity in a devil's hell to suffer for those sins against the God who made him for all eternity. And by the grace of God, God touched that man's heart, opened his eyes to understand that the man that hung between he and his friend on the other side was the only man. He was God's man. He was the Son of God, God the Son, and he was hanging there to save him from his sins. And what a testimony he had. That was one for the books, wasn't it? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was his sole plea. And the Lord said, didn't he? Well, you need to straighten up your life and you need to clean up your act and you need to repent of your sins and you need to say 50 Hail Marys and you need to say 72 Our Fathers and you need to do all sorts of things. No, what did the Lord of all grace, the God of all grace, the God of love, the God of all comfort, the conduit of the comfort, gave the comfort that only comes from the God of all comfort through Jesus Christ? He said, today you will be with me. And if you know Jesus Christ, and you walk out this door, and the Lord decide that today is your last day on planet Earth, you can know that today you'll be in his presence. Died for you. If you know him in saving faith today, may the Lord bless you. Praise God for the God of all comfort. And Jesus Christ, who is the fountainhead of all that comfort. And for the privilege that he has given you, every one of you who name his name, who have received the comfort in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, he has given to you and to me the glorious and grand and high privilege to be a conduit of that comfort. What a privilege. And you will find nothing as satisfying as being that conduit. Find the time. It'll be worth your time. I promise you that for all eternity. Let's stand and sing.